Your editorial that's in the New Economy magazine, it gives a really, I think, beautiful introduction to what Ingenuity Lab is all about. And in that, you say that our entire civilization is based on this creative exploitation of 11 fundamental machines. What are these 11 machines, and what have we used them for?
Well, the machines that we have, you know, evolved over time. The first series of machines is what propelled us into the agriculture and mechanical ages. And they're the simple physics machines, the screw, the lever, the inclined plane, the machines that were responsible for creating everything from the plow to locomotives. It was all of the devices that were designed that allow us to make all these technologies that are able to be used to create an industrialized society. And then in the 1940s, with the coming of the electronics age, you added five more fundamental components, which are the resistor, the capacitor, the diode, the inductor, and the transistor. And those then provide the backbone for all of the electronics and everything that we see. So that combination of 11 principal subunits encompass the foundation of which our entire civilization is built upon.
So we've essentially gone from a mechanical industrial age to the electronic age, and now we're actually heading into what you might call the biological age with the advent of nanotechnology and are looking at biological systems. Can you explain that?
Well, I think everybody would recognize that nature is far more sophisticated in the things that it has versus the devices that we currently build. And it's always a topic of discussion in most science fiction literature, right, of trying to make materials that have many of the semblance of properties that we find naturally in the world around us. And the difference is that nature has tens of thousands of fundamental operating machines in which to build the world that we are surrounded by. And so the work at Ingenuity Lab is focused on how do we take those individual machines that life uses and make them so that they can survive in an engineering environment, which means that it's not fragile in regard to changes in temperature, it's physically robust, and has the ability to couple with the 11 fundamental machines that we currently have in our portfolio. And so the work at Ingenuity Lab says, if I can take those operating units that we find in living systems and extract those simple machines, make them so they're environmentally stable, and then incorporate them and integrate them with the 11 machines that we have, it opens up an entire portfolio of opportunity for advances in science and technology.
I think the hard thing for myself and the general public to wrap your mind around is the idea that the machines or the building blocks that we're talking about now are actually at the atomic level. How significant a change is it?
Well, it's a big change, but they're of the same size scale as the smallest transistors that we currently have in our smartphones. So there is not a huge difference in size scale between where we've evolved the use of our current 11 machines to the size scale that biological systems use. The difference is that those fundamental units have always been defined as chemical components. And so we have a habit in science of defining the world based upon how we measure things. And so these molecules were all measured by how well they bound to certain things and how fast the reaction they occurred, instead of evaluating them in terms of their function. And so what we do now is we look at them in terms of their function, see the function that they do at that small scale, and integrate that function with the other machines that we have.
But these are also living machines. When you get down to the atomic level, we're really talking about the building blocks of life. Is life being incorporated into these new machines?
Life is an emergent property that comes as a result of the collective interaction of many of these machines. Those machines separately aren't alive. They provide lifelike function, but they aren't alive. And so what we're doing is we're taking the component pieces that help define and create life, and we're incorporating them into things that we build. So we're not creating life, but we're creating machines or materials that have a set of properties which are directly in parallel to what you would find in living systems. So we take a slice of what happens in life and we incorporate that into something that we engineer and build.
So in your article in The New Economy, you talked about 3D printing, and you also talked about something which you called the fourth dimension. Explain that for me, please.
Well, one of the important features associated with living systems is that living systems are the result of nanotechnology, nature's nanotechnology. And nanotechnology is more than just being small. It's putting molecules where you want them to be, when you want them to be there, to do what you want them to do. So inherent in that is the ability to control structure and to manipulate function at the smallest possible scales. By using advanced printing technologies that we're working on in the Ingenuity Lab, we end up being able to integrate these life functions, these life machines, these fundamental machines, with other engineered constructs that we build and incorporate them in an architecture that allows us to achieve this high level of functionality that you would normally not be able to do by sticking a bunch of chemicals in a test tube. So when I talk about the fourth dimension, I'm talking about, of course, the three-dimensional structure X, Y, and Z. And I'm talking about the fourth dimension of function, of incorporating function as an intrinsic property of the things that we build and construct. And that function is spatially dependent upon where you are within the devices and the materials that you engineer and build.
So what does that mean to us as a society and to our economy if we start incorporating this sort of new function?
What it means is that we can start building devices and materials that interact with the surrounding environment and respond to the surrounding environment based upon their own intrinsic properties. Without having a computer controlling it, without telling somebody to do something, they respond to what happens at the local environment. So one of the things that we've done is we've made a membrane that detects pH. And as a result of a pH difference across this membrane, a molecule opens and closes. So this molecule opening and closing is responding to its local environment, and it's regulating the pH difference across a membrane. There's no computer controlling it. There's no mechanical valves turning. It's part of the intrinsic property of the things that we built. So how are we employing this in the real life? Well, one of the things that we're building is a vaccine delivery system. In this vaccine delivery system, you incorporate the vaccine within particles that respond to the changes in pH. And so what happens is you take a pill, which would have the vaccine, it goes into your stomach into a high acid environment, and the vaccine stays encapsulated in the material. But then when it gets to your lower gut and to your colon, the pH becomes more neutral. And at that point, the little valves, the pores open up, and then the vaccine gets delivered. So you're able to make an effective delivery of a pharmaceutical that eliminates the use of needles and allows long-term storage and lots of other advantages. And you're doing that by creating a material which interacts directly with the surrounding environment. And it does it not because we're telling it to do it, but because it's sensing what's happening around it, and it responds to those changes in the local environment.
So in essence, it's a very sophisticated way of using what nature does to our benefit. Do I have that right?
Well, we're incorporating the way nature interacts with the environment into things that we build and engineer. That's why I mean that we're making a system that incorporates a slice of life into the things that we build. And so, whereas you'll have leaves that have a stoma that open and close to prevent the plant from dehydrating during arid times and during the day, well, we have the same sort of type of function that we incorporate in materials. It interacts with the environment to facilitate the function that we want to have in the things that we build and engineer.
Thank you.
Thank you.